Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
The Browns are getting Myles Garrett back this week. Welcome, second half of the show. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. He's been activated off the COVID-19 list. Meanwhile, Mary Kay Cabot reporting that Ronnie Harrison, their safety, I'm not even sure if he's in the starting lineup right now. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. He's not in the starting lineup right now for sure.
Yeah,
he's on IR with a shoulder issue. He's playing, but if you look at their depth chart, it's Carl Joseph who's listed ahead of him. Good player, not going to be available this week for Cleveland, but their best player, Myles Garrett,
he's playing. Beast.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, and they will deliver to you, edleysbbq.com. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to go inside the Vanderbilt locker room, chat with perspective from a former player who still has friends on the Vanderbilt roster.
Yeah, Bruno Reagan, who's doing some work for Chris Lee and VandySports.com. He's a guest on the podcast with Chris Lee, also the Vandy Sports podcast, from Clarksville, mid-state guy, played at Vanderbilt, graduated in 2018, knows the locker room well, knows the program well. He's going to get real with us about the real challenges, the real obstacles at Vanderbilt moving forward, and the real reaction to Sarah Fuller in that locker room with upperclassmen and everything going on at Vanderbilt. We'll talk to Bruno Reagan coming up. But guys, if you're ready, I have my top 10 list.
Yes.
For potential Vanderbilt head coaches.
Absolutely. Now, Chad Withrow, during times of coaching crisis, whenever you're looking for that search firm for universities out there, whenever you're willing to pay six figures so someone can make a phone call to find out if that coach is interested in your job and potentially interested in your buyout 3 years from now, you can call on Chad Withrow.
That's
he
right.
is available I with am, his top 10 list every time.
I'll cut the price in half, in fact. You can pay me half of whatever you're going to pay the other search
half,
firm.
Half, Eddie.
Let me start by prefacing, by saying this. This is not a prediction of who I think they're going to hire. This is who I'm going to first, 1 through 10, on the list of coaches that I think will succeed at Vanderbilt, or could succeed. There are names on this list that have been mentioned prominently. I combine this, my idea of who the right coach is, with everything that Candace Story Lee said in her press conference yesterday about what she's looking for. So keep that in mind. It's sort of a blend of both with this list. Number one on my list, I've said it for 10 years, and I will continue to pound on this desk and say it.
Do we want number one or number 10 first, Paul?
Yeah, 10.
You want to go 10 to 1? Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go.
Paul's going to light number 10. We have to build up to James Franklin.
Number 10, Jeff Fisher is number 10 on my list. I like the celebrity factor here. I like the NFL experience. I think Jeff Fisher is a great head of an organization. He is a good CEO. I only like Jeff Fisher at Vanderbilt if he hires a staff that is a great mix of NFL guys with people on the staff that have a fundamental knowledge of how major college football works with recruiting and everything else. I think Jeff Fisher is capable of doing that with his staff. I'm intrigued by Jeff Fisher. He's number 10 on my list for a reason, though. I also don't like constantly hearing about the Vanderbilt job and with some of these names. Well, there's not a lot of pressure there. You're not going to get bothered at Vanderbilt. You're not going to – I don't know that I like hiring a coach that's going into it thinking – well, it's Vandy, and if we fail, we fail. Who cares? I've already done all this in my life. Doesn't matter. I want someone hungrier than that. Maybe Jeff Fisher's that guy. Don't know. He's number 10 on my list. Number 9, he's eventually going to have to take a head coaching job. He's mentioned for all of them the last 2 years. Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator at Clemson. He would be another minority hire for Vanderbilt, following up Derek Mason. James Franklin certainly worked as a minority hire also. spent time at South Carolina State, Furman, Clemson. He was a player at Clemson. He's only been in the state of South Carolina in his playing and coaching career. Something to keep in mind. He's only been a full-time offensive coordinator for this is going on his second year. He was co-offensive coordinator before that. Something else to keep in mind. Only 41 years old. Originally from California. Tony Elliott, number 9. Number 8 on my list. We're going to start to get in the mode of Vanderbilt experience. Knows the school. Knows the challenges. Knows the job. Josh Gattis, 36-year-old offensive coordinator at Michigan. Would be another minority hire if you went that direction. Mm-hmm. Worked with James Franklin at Vandy. Came to Vandy in 2011, I believe. Was at Penn State with James Franklin. Nick Saban thought highly enough of him that he brought him from Penn State to Alabama, where he did a good job. Great recruiter, energetic guy. Paul, you like the energy. Josh Gattis brings that energy. Not doing
coming
a terrific
off a tremendous
job
this year.
Not doing a terrific job at Michigan right now with the offense. You can't hide that. But I think makes a lot of sense. And a guy who definitely would be interested and would want that opportunity and knows the job. Number 7. Canastori Lee wants offense. I'll tell you someone who knows offense. Rhett Lashley. Currently the offensive coordinator at Miami. He is a Southern guy through and through. Spent time coaching Mitch Mustain in Springdale, Arkansas in high school.
Mitch.
He's of the Gus Malzahn family tree. Coached at Arkansas State. Coached at Samford. At SMU, here are some of the stats at SMU. He was the offensive coordinator at SMU. Mustangs had a 10-3 year in 2019. They ranked 7th in the country in scoring, 41.8 points per game, 13th in passing offense, number 9 in total offense, number 12 in first downs gained that year. Great offense led at Auburn when he was there. Great offense at SMU. An offensive-minded guy with deep ties to the South. Rhett Lashley makes a lot of sense. Number 6. Maybe a name that not a lot of people are thinking about right now or even know. Another guy with Vanderbilt and Nashville ties outside of Vanderbilt. Charles Huff. He is the running back coach and associate head coach at Alabama. So he's at Bama now. He was at TSU from 06 to 08. He worked for James Franklin. This is in the mold of Josh Gattis. Would be another minority hire for Vanderbilt. Great recruiter. So much so that Nick Saban covets this guy as a recruiter. So he could get the energy going in recruiting in Nashville at Vanderbilt. Now, this is more of an organizational decision. He's never been a coordinator. He's never called plays. He is a position coach that is a great position coach, great recruiter, highly thought of by some big-time coaches. Charles Huff, 6th on my list. 5, 4, and 3 on the list, names that everyone has heard, that everyone is associating with the Vanderbilt search, that makes a ton of sense. Number 5, Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina. Chadwell runs this hybrid spread triple option offense at Coastal Carolina. He's a guy who can run different offenses. He'll take personnel and he'll mold an offense around it. I like it. He's 43 years old. He's from Anderson County High School in Clinton, Tennessee, just north of Knoxville. So he knows the state. Played his college football at ETSU. Again, young guy, offensive mind, doing a great job. Coastal Carolina undefeated this year, and he's transformed that program. Jamie Chadwell, 5th on my list. Number 4, the guy with the biggest Nashville roots and Vanderbilt roots on this list. Not an offensive mind, but certainly capable of hiring a good offensive coordinator. Clark Lee, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. If you want to know how highly thought of Clark Lee is, mention the name Clark Lee leaving for Vanderbilt to any Notre Dame fan and ask how scared they get of that possibility. He is leading a dominant Notre Dame defense. He has done a great job there. He's only 38 years old. Graduated high school the same year I graduated high school, 2000, from Montgomery Bell Academy, where he played fullback. He played college baseball at Birmingham Southern, then transferred to Belmont and played college baseball. Finished up his college career at Vanderbilt as a fullback. I think Clark Lee, you talk to people that know coaches, some would say he's a great coordinator and he's going to be a better head coach. He's more suited to be a head coach than a coordinator. Clark Lee would be on brand for Vanderbilt and someone that knows the program well. Number three on the list, Will Healy. I don't have to go through his accomplishments so far. He's only 35. He is a spark plug of a hire. He goes into a program, he injects energy, and he wins. He took over a moribund Austin Peay program that was basically dead. He goes 0-11 his first year. They go 500 the next year. They make the playoffs in year three. Did a great job there, turning around that program, doing a terrific job at Charlotte. Only 35, not a ton of experience. Tennessee ties, played at Boyd Buchanan High School in Chattanooga, played college ball at Richmond for Dave Clawson, who's currently the head coach at Wake Forest. Will Healy makes a ton of sense. That's why he's on everyone's list. Numbers one and two on my list, guys, no surprise, because I have been preaching this.
We're going to run the veer.
For years now. It's like Novocaine.
Getting military.
It always works.
We're getting military.
Yes. Ken Niumatalolo. I don't know that he would take the job. He has been at Navy since 2007. Took over for Paul Johnson at Navy. Paul Johnson's going to be a consistent theme with names number two and one on my list also. Niumatalolo has been terrific at Navy. He is a Navy guy through and through. Is it time for him to leave and take on a new challenge? 10 winning seasons, gone to 10 bowl games, had a great stretch of wins over Army in his time at Navy. The triple option is what would give the SEC fits at Vanderbilt more than any other offense. It neutralizes the opponent's offense. You can control the time of possession, and it's different. Sell your difference if you're Vandy. You're different from the rest of the conference. Don't try to be like the rest of the SEC. Spend money like the SEC because that's what you have in abundance. Spend money on facilities. Invest, but think differently. You're the only private school in the conference. Do something different. The triple option is what will win at Vandy. Number one on my list, no surprise, Jeff Monken, 53 years old. He's 76-52 as a head coach at Georgia Southern and Army. He's 40-36 at Army. He's won three straight against Navy. He's turned the tide against Ken Niumatalolo in that rivalry. Get this, Army this year, they averaged 328 yards per game on the ground, leading the nation. Since 2010, they lead the nation, and it's not even close in third down conversion rate on offense. You stay ahead of the sticks with the triple option. That is the key. This is something that could work at Vanderbilt. Jeff Monken, great leader, great head coach. I am going 1-2 if I'm Candace Story Lee. Jeff Monken, Ken Niumatalolo. Will it get the Vandy fan base excited? I don't know. Will they go 8-4 every other year? I think so. Can you go 6-6 pretty consistently around that range at Vandy? Yes. That's what Paul Johnson was doing at Georgia Tech. It would work in the SEC. Vanderbilt is a better job than Georgia Tech in a better city. You can recruit the best triple option quarterback in America if you've got one of those coaches coaching the triple option at Vandy. Go to those two guys first. So quickly to review, 1 through 10, and then we can get into this after Bruno Reagan if you guys want. Jeff Monken, number 1. Ken Niumatalolo, 2. Will Healy, 3. Clark Lee, 4. Jamie Chadwell, 5. Charles Huff, 6. Rhett Lashley at 7. Josh Gattis, 8. Tony Elliott, 9. Jeff Fisher, number 10.
Here's what hasn't changed. Chad thinking outside the box for this job. And to me, that is the requirement of this search if I'm heading it up. And I think Chad agrees based on the fact that Jeff Monken and Ken Niumatalolo are still atop his list. They were last time because of the offense that they're going to bring. And, Chad, as you're running through your list, here are the coaches. You guys remember the coaches that were mentioned with Derek Mason?
Chad Morris.
In 2014?
Chad Morris.
Chad Morris, who's now Herb Hand was mentioned as someone that would be retained. He's now the offensive coordinator at Texas. Deserves no mention right now. Mark Hudspeth, who resigned at Austin Peay in July. Pete Limbo, who is the special teams coordinator at Memphis. And if you want to go back a ways, Ivan Jasper. who is apparently still offered the job.
Why hire Ivan Jasper when you can hire Ivan Jasper's daddy?
So what you're saying
who is Kenny Amatalopo. Right.
What you're saying is none of them have really panned out. Though
No one on this list from the last go around that you want to that I would be interested in.
But I will say
go past number 3. If you offer the job in that order, Will Hill is taking this job.
Yeah. At the time, Derek Mason and Chad Morris seemed reasonable.
Sure.
People to offer the job.
Exact opposites. One offense, one defense.
Yeah. I don't think we objected to the Derek Mason hire, and I wouldn't have objected to Chad Morris. But you need this next guy to pan out better. I also think that your 1 and 2 would turn the job down. I could see them as lifers where they are, or certainly could see Monken getting a better job than this. I think at Navy, it seems like a lifetime kind of gig for him.
I don't go into this, though, thinking who's going to turn me down.
No, I don't either.
I let them turn me down.
I do too.
You're not getting past 3, you're right. And if you flip-flop 3 and 4, you're still not getting past 3.
Absolutely. To me, that's why I wanted to put them in that range, because those are good options for Vandy right now, and you could hire either one of those.
3 and 4, Clark Lee was 4th on Chad.
You could hire either one of those good young coaches right now if you wanted.
I've got one after 4 that I didn't know much about that I find very intriguing. And when we circle back to this after our guest, I'll raise.
We're going inside the Vanderbilt locker room.
Yes, Bruno Reagan, former offensive lineman for Vanderbilt from Clarksville. He's got a beat on what's being said and what's being talked about inside the Vanderbilt program. This is going to be good. We're going to talk to him when we come back.
Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
What are you waiting for? Mortgage rates are still in the 2s, but you need to get locked in now. You could be saving hundreds, even thousands of dollars a month. And how nice would it be to pay off all the credit cards and have cash in the bank? Get pre-approved for whatever lies ahead with a simple refinance. Apply online today with our 5-minute loan approval, only available at thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Two of the top teams in college basketball will be going toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sports book app, is giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either team to win this Clash of the Titans. Plus, you'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code WGFX. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WGFX when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either of the guys from Spokane or Waco to win. That's code WGFX during sign up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
You need to make room.
Make room.
Make room.
For all the new stuff that's coming for Christmas.
Less junk, more happiness.
Less junk, more happiness.
Your lights will twinkle brighter.
All your friends will be happier.
And your relatives will get along.
Your children will be cheerful and strong.
Less junk, more happiness.
Less junk, more happiness.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Southern Trophy House may be our name, but we offer much more than trophies and awards. As a trusted locally owned business with more than 60 years in Nashville, we offer everything promotional to keep your brand visible, such as logoed PPE supplies, embroidered and screen printed apparel, awards, signs, name badges, and more. Let us handle packing and shipping directly to your customers or employees, delivering top quality items your business needs to be recognized. Give us a call today at 615-256-7295 or online at southerntrophy.com. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When the unexpected comes calling, bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds of up to a gig. Bounce forward with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks. To learn more, go to comcastbusiness.com.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're online at edleysbbq.com. Three locations, 12 Southeast Nashville and Sylvan Park, where we were yesterday. Paul, you were missed. We're hungry right now. We were not hungry at this time yesterday.
Let's just say the snack attack I had from a gas station where I filled up was not Edley's-esque. Just like Sarah Fuller was not Jackie Robinson-esque.
No. No. But she's on the roster this week.
She's the only kicker on the roster this week.
Can Vanderbilt get anywhere near field goal range or the end zone?
One can hope. One can hope. Coming up at noon, we'll talk NFL with John McClain. But right now, Bruno Reagan joins us.
Yeah, Bruno Reagan with VandySports.com. And thanks to Chris Lee at Vandy Sports, good friend of the show, for helping set this up. And I heard with Bruno and Chris, and Bruno had some thoughts, and he is connected to this Vandy locker room that didn't sit well with some in media, but he was being very honest and truthful about what's actually being said inside of a football locker room and inside of a football program. So we decided to have Bruno on the program to discuss the state of Vanderbilt football. Hey, Bruno, thanks so much for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
So let's start with this, Bruno. Preseason, when you had the number of players either transferring or opting out, that was a red flag for things going on with this program. When you saw that and you talked to guys in this locker room, what was going on even going into this season with Derek Mason and Vanderbilt football for all that to happen?
So obviously people are going to point to the COVID and the opt-out. I think it was very much not. There might have been one or two true COVID concerns on the team. I believe the number is up to 30 of people from spring ball who have either opted out or transferred from the team. And, you know, every team has like 8 or 9, you know, transfer or opt-outs right now. But 30, like, it's exceptionally bad at Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt didn't go into the season with too much of an expectation this season. So I think it just said a lot about where the program was at, how things were being handled on the inside. I mean, during the summer, it was a lot of craziness because they didn't know how to do. They were going through some issues with protocol and stuff, and some players' family were getting upset, and it just kind of shows where the state of the program is at right now.
So Derek Mason gets fired, and everyone immediately says, "Hey, Derek Mason, nice guy. Can't think of many bad things to say about him." And they follow it up with, "Wasn't really given a chance, but," and this is our show's belief, "still could have done better with the chances that he was given at Vanderbilt." But when you hear these things about your former coach, Bruno, and his ouster there, what were the real circumstances around the program? Was he not given a fair shake in terms of what that program needed while he was there?
In terms of what he needed, I don't know if he had the commitment for the long haul, but if we're going to talk short term, like those 6 and 7 teams we had, and I was the captain of those teams. Like that, I put that more on myself. Like I said, I definitely thought we could have accomplished a lot more there. You know, guys like Kyle Shermer, Justin School, Jaron Pinney-Collette. We had a lot of talent on those teams, right? And I think a lot of guys on that team would take more responsibility on the team itself, not on like the grander program. Like, oh, we didn't get what we needed. We didn't have a nicer weight room, and that's why we lost some games, right? I think that's the deal. So I just think I think while we were there, we had opportunities to be extremely successful. And, you know, as captains, as coaching staff, as a whole, we just kind of missed the mark.
Do you feel like things are different now under Candace Story Lee? Or is it the old adage of same old Vanderbilt in terms of a lack of commitment to the football program and what they want to see there? Or do you get the sense that, okay, maybe this time it is going to be different?
So I didn't know what much to think about Athletic Director Lee. I only knew what I knew about my time there, and she always seemed like she was on the side of players and winning. But I didn't know much of what she was doing as an athletic director. But her making the decision to, you know, move on from Coach Mason, and it's a hard one for all of us because we all had a really good personal relationship. But I do think she's setting a standard for what's not going to be accepted at Vanderbilt. And to do it, you know, mid-season too, it did give me a vote of confidence in her, a big one, that she wants success in terms of wins at Vanderbilt.
Bruno Reagan, our guest, do you relate to the description of the locker room halftime that was lifeless, or the sideline that was lifeless? Like when you hear that description, is that something you experienced?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, for example, when we got trounced by Alabama, I believe it was my junior year, 2017. That's something you can't even fake. You can't even fake that sort of, you know, enthusiasm or whatever. But as far as, you know, the years, especially even those years when we were bowling, I feel like we had a good team atmosphere. And those seasons didn't start out too well either. You know, those were basically us rallying at the end of the season. And enthusiasm or anything around the program, it was never much of a problem. It was a problem when Coach Mace first got there. A lot of the Franklin guys were you know, they were fed up. And then when it became a lot of Mace's guys and the Franklin guys who stayed who bought in, you know, the team had a good energy. It did feel like we were a competitive SEC team in that locker room. Now, when my class left, you know, there was a lot of leadership that left. The big one was Kyle Shermer. I mean, after that, you know, you started getting rumblings that things were starting to die down in terms of energy in that team.
And the wins died down also, obviously, the last 2 years, the trend mm-hmm. with Derek Mason, which led to him being fired. Bruno Reagan, our guest on the Midday 180. Let's go deep into that locker room, Bruno. Numbers were already an issue. You mentioned the 30 players either transferring or opting out. Now their head coach has been fired. What is that going to do for numbers now, trying to just finish out this season and play two more games? Are there other players that have either left or consider leaving the Vanderbilt program with 2 weeks left?
Yeah, well, I guess you guys get, whoever the listeners of the show are, get the updates as they come, because Coach Fitch just had a press conference, who's the interim head coach of Vanderbilt right now. He said, you know, some guys were opted out. And then right after that, I start getting tips that about 6 to 7 guys, you know, I've heard 6, I've heard 7, and could be team captain names, they've opted out of the season already. So I don't know if Vanderbilt's going to even get to play a game. Coach Fitch speculated that they'll have enough to keep the roster up. But, I mean, I can tell you where the program is right now. And I don't know the exact reasons either, but – you know, I think as we get more into our conversation, we can sort of speculate and I can explain what I've heard. But basically, you know, the direct reaction to Coach Mace being fired is there are even more opt-outs now. So,
did the Sarah Fuller situation hurt things with this football team in this locker room?
So the way I got the Sarah Fuller story was right off the jump. I mean, I got calls from a few players and it was mainly the older crowd of players. Because, you know, I think they saw what this was going to become right off the jump. I knew it was going to be a big story. I didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. I mean, this was absolutely massive story. And, you know, the guys just felt like their season was being taken. Like, even though it was the 0-7 season, they wanted to own it. It was their senior year. They wanted to try and end things on a good note. You know, at Vanderbilt, you beat Tennessee. The people go crazy over on our side. So there was still that opportunity for them. But then things kind of... it just kind of added on a lot of extra media. So obviously the world's watching the Missouri game. You get trounced 41-0. I mean, it's just more on top of more pounding on top of these guys. But when I started getting more information on the Sarah Fuller thing from inside the locker room, a lot of guys just didn't really care. I think a lot of guys are in survival mode there right now. So that's just sort of where the team's at.
So these guys opting out now, would you say 6 to 7 and team captain level names,
yeah.
Is it a reaction to Mason being fired? Is it a reaction to the degree to which they've gone now with Fuller, or is it just I'm done with this? Are we talking about seniors or guys in their last year of eligibility just saying I don't have the gumption to finish this out?
Now, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, and I can't speak for every single name that's opted out or the names that are going to opt out, but you know. Right before I hopped on the show, I got a tip, and basically, so I've been talking with a bunch of journalists in the circle that Riley Gay is back, who was the kicker when I was there. He had some eligibility left, but he stopped playing. He was in med school. They brought him in, and he was kicking, and this is the story that I got. He was kicking well, and, you know, obviously he kicked for a very long time, very experienced kicker, and he was kicking better than Sarah, obviously. You know, he's been doing this a long time. And basically, they told him that, you know, regardless if they get anything sorted out, the waivers, whatever, if he was able to play, he was told that he was going to be the backup on kickoff regardless behind Sarah. And I was told that some team captains very much didn't take that well at all. And that could be a reason for these opt-outs.
And that was this week, right, saying that he would back her up this week, not last week.
Yeah, this week. No, he's like going into Georgia week. So she's the only one listed on the depth chart. And I assume the reason they haven't listed Riley yet is because, you know, I don't know if they have everything worked out in terms of the paperwork, but from what I heard, he was basically going to be cleared to play, and he might be out there, and he might do the field goals while Sarah takes care of, you know, kickoff responsibility.
So they're opting out because they're a part of a publicity stunt and not a part about who's playing the best football
games. I think some guys that might be the reason. Some guys might be, you know, Coach Mason. Some guys might truly think they have an NFL shot, and they're like, you know what, I'm not risking it over this. Over this next 2 weeks, I'm going out. But I do think that's the sentiment that some players have in that locker room.
So, speaking of locker room, you've obviously been in that locker room with Vanderbilt. You know guys in the locker room. Everyone on this show has been in a locker room at some point in their life, at participating in sports, covering sports. So we have some basic understanding of how a locker room works. Common sense, Bruno, would dictate that it's very odd for a kicker to step in the week of a game and address a team at halftime. It's odd for a kicker to address the team at all in football.
Yeah.
so how weird was that, and how odd, talking to guys in the locker room you talk to, how strange was a halftime pump-up speech from the part-time kicker who joined the team 3 days before on Saturday in Columbia, Missouri?
Well, I definitely got, believe me, I heard it as soon as anybody, you know. As soon as the game was over, the text calls started rolling in, like, bro, you're not going to believe what's happened. Alumni, the story breaks, and then alumni start hitting me up, and they're like, no way this happened. And, you know, that's just kind of where the program is right now. And I listened to Sarah, everything that Sarah said publicly, I think she actually, she made some decent points in that speech. Was it her place as, you know, coming in, and she hadn't even kicked at that point yet, so, you know, she hadn't even played. Was it her place? No. She saw something that she thought was, you know, it was a dead locker room. They were getting whacked 21-0 at the time going into the half. But it's definitely in the norms of football, that's not a normal thing to happen. Obviously, this wasn't a normal situation, you know. There was a lot of eyes on the deal. So, but you said it, man. I mean, I've always been on the train that kickers and specialists, you know, I'm an offensive lineman, so they've never gotten too much respect. You'll eventually have a guy like a Tommy Openshaw that I play with that he was considered a captain on the team, very respected guy. But for the most part, kickers just don't usually come up and speak up like that. But she had a message, and she wanted to say it. She asked the team. She asked, and they let her have the floor. So,
I mean, there's a lot to digest in this conversation. So let's ask you about the coaching search now. You've seen all the names that have been mentioned with Vanderbilt. What makes the most sense to you in terms of you knowing what success can look like at Vandy? And obviously we're seeing the other end of that right now with Vanderbilt football. Of the names you've seen, or even maybe names you haven't seen, what do you like in this coaching search?
I think Candace made some decent points. She liked head coaching experience, and I like that point. So she mentioned two key traits. Not deal breakers, but important. So head coaching experience and offensive minded. Now that goes two and two against Clark Lee, who, while I was researching, you know, just hearing his name, as soon as the search pops up, his name pops up. I really started to like Clark Lee. Obviously, he goes against those 2 points, but I think he'll be someone that's deeply considered for this position. But the two guys that do fill that role is Jamie Chadwell and Will Healy. Those are two names that are going to be huge. I mean, these are charismatic guys. Offensive-minded. I mean, we saw. I heard you guys discussing Will Healy and how he turned around the program at Clarksville and Austin Peay. I'm from Clarksville. My dad played at Austin Peay. I know how that was the most historically bad football program on the planet, and somehow this man got SEC talent in there. I know because I was looking at the names. I was like, how is he getting these guys to come play for Austin Peay? And I see that, and I'm like, dang, I kind of want that at Vanderbilt. I want SEC guys at Vanderbilt. So I've been a big Will Healy fan. I think Jamie Chadwell is also. He might be possibly what is the speculative front runner because, you know, we've seen with Coastal, they've been following a bunch of Vandy recruits on Twitter and stuff. You know the speculative stuff, so he might be a potential front runner if there's any. But the search just started. But those are, I think, the top three names you'll hear: is Clark Lee, Will Healy, Jamie Chadwell.
Bruno Reagan has been our guest. How many opt-outs are you hearing? And you said six or seven. Is this just the start, or is this just kind of where we are?
Well, I mean, I think that's where we're at. You know, the first number I got was 6 to 7 today, right before I hopped on the show. Okay. So that's the number. Will there be more? Probably.
So
I don't know if they're going to play guys, honestly.
And just to clarify, these are guys who are upset with the Mason firing, or there's more to it than that?
The Fuller stuff.
I was trying to get an answer, but I was trying to get a clear answer from multiple people before I came on and obviously reported it. But the one person who was able to answer before I hopped on the show said that this came back to issues with, you know, putting people in position to win. I think Riley was back and he was given the okay to go. That's what I'm hearing from the inside. And then they told him he was going to be a backup on kickoff, and some people didn't take that well, and that's a reason for a few opt-outs. And maybe those opt-outs announced that's the reason they're opting out, so other people opt out. You can't tell the true reason with everybody, but I think that's one reason that maybe the initial opt-outs happen, and now that they happen, it's going to create a wave that might derail the season.
Bruno, thank you, man. This has been a great perspective, and Chad was dead on when he said, hey, I heard this podcast with Chris Lee. We've got to have Bruno Reagan on.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. Well, I was hearing that stuff early. Obviously, I've got mixed reactions on that podcast, and for the most part, good, because I was pretty, you know, I wasn't too sold on it even then, and that was one of the, that was instant reaction.
Right.
Basically, with everything coming up with the story and stuff, I don't want people to think I'm against Sarah either. Like, she was given the opportunity. She's no victim in this. They gave her the opportunity, and she said, heck yeah, I'm going to do it. I'd do it too.
Right.
If anything, she added on, you know, the nonprofit, you know, the Play Like a Girl nonprofit. That's better than me. I'd be trying to capitalize personally off this. That's the way I would do it. So she's a better person than me in that regard.
Here's a twist, Bruno, and I wonder if they're not really screwing up on a communications basis, because I'm hearing reliably right now that she's only going to be used for extra points, and that it's kind of for quote unquote helping them out last week. And so if they're telling the guy who's coming back that he's the backup kickoff guy, they're screwing up communications wise this week. If guys are walking away over that and it's not even true, They're really shooting themselves.
Well, Paul, who gives you the best shot at winning, kicking extra points and kickoffs? The guy who's kicked very well in the SEC over the years, or someone who's never done it?
If she's just kicking extra points and he's doing everything else.
But, Bruno, I think what you said was she was just kickoff, named the starter on kickoff.
Right, and that was pissing people off. But I'm being told, only extra points.
Well, that's the case too. It's the same thing.
Just yeah.
They're giving her brownie points. They want to, and I wanted to see her kick an extra point.
I did too. We all did.
But if Riley Day is back, and you're trying to win, now are they going to beat Georgia, guys? You know.
No.
I get it, but at the same time, it's for the spirit of the, it's the integrity of it. It's for the seniors. You know, I want them to try and win. I'm a competitor. If I was there, I'd want to try and win. You know, you could turn on your Gorilla football player brain and be like, we have to try and win at all costs regardless, you know. It would be a great boost. But if they're going to have Riley, if your source is good and they're saying Riley's going to do kickoff, but they're going to let her do the extra point, then I think that kind of says everything in and of itself. And with what I heard, he's going to be the backup on kickoff. I mean, either way, it's, you know.
Well, right now she's the only one listed, right?
She's the only one even listed
on
the
only
on
the
roster.
One listed. I don't think they're going to list Riley. I don't think they confirmed him until somebody asked, which I heard right from the beginning that, you know, he was back on the team, like, right after that game. So, and I don't think they were going to confirm him until they had the whole, I think there's a lot of things with eligibility and stuff they have to clear. I'm pretty sure he is cleared, but they weren't going to release it until somebody pressed him on it. I think someone asked Coach Fitch about him in their presser.
Bruno, thank you, man. We appreciate the insight.
No problem, guys. I mean, I'm just here being honest with whatever those guys, you know.
We appreciate the honesty on this show for sure.
How many guys do you talk to?
Quite a few. And the thing is like those guys will talk to older guys and those older guys talk to me.
Sure.
So I basically have an ear with the locker room. I'm not going to act like I know a lot of the younger guys because I don't. But I mean, I bled with those guys. A lot of those guys are still my brothers. So.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruno.
No problem, guys.
Bruno Reagan has been our guest, former Vanderbilt offensive lineman. He mentioned his dad went to Austin Peay. His mom's in the Austin Peay Sports Hall of Fame as a volleyball player there for the Lady Govs. So
I just think I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in those guys' shoes. It's crumbling on a lot of levels, right? The coach is fired.
I think it sounds like guys a group of guys who don't want to be there
campus,
anyways.
Right. A couple have pro chances. There's all kinds of reasons. Is this a straw for them? Final straw? I don't know. There's a lot of reasons to mail it in.
It seems like.
And I'd like guys who finish. I'd like guys who see it through.
I like guys who see it through, but I can also understand if you're caught up in a stunt and your guy that you played with is being told that he's not going to start, even though he's the best option to win because of the stunt, then I would have an issue with that too. But, Paul, to your point, I also think from the start of this year and the lack of energy around the program, it sounds like some guys looking for a reason to leave.
Yeah.
And this is just the last thing that said, okay, I'm done.
Now, pro, how many pro prospects did I have?
Odangbo, for sure. The linebacker who just left, I think Demetri Moore was his name.
Yeah,
is a guy who's transferring.
But even like pro, like I think it's even if you have a chance to be undrafted, you don't want to have the option of having that question asked why you quit, right?
Yeah, what's better, getting out of a couple of games or just finishing facing the out. Quit question?
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. 615-737-1045, our number. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. So, listening to Bruno Reagan there, Chad, it sounds like some players. Now, I made a lap around the building here during the break, and I was thinking of this. So there are some players who are upset that she's going to kick instead of someone that's better. These same players don't speak up in a locker room at halftime when you're trailing by 3 touchdowns. So, like, there's a problem at the core of the fabric of the locker room, really.
So
it goes deeper than just who's kicking on Saturday.
So Paul said this, and he tweeted, hearing reliably that Sarah Fuller, and he mentioned her, will be used only for extra points for Vandy against Georgia. Bruno Reagan, and I've got the quote here, said, I think some players are leaving the program after being told that Sarah Fuller is the starter on kickoff, even with Riley Gay eligible to kick on Saturday. They don't want to be a part of a publicity stunt. Now, either way, there's no argument that Riley Gay isn't the better option for kickoff or extra points. The guy's done it in the SEC. No one's arguing that, right?
Right.
So, where, is there an argument anymore that this isn't a publicity stunt if that's the case?
It is exactly. Now, they're doing it for the coverage.
To your question.
I mean, that. Am I wrong in thinking that?
To your question, though, Hutton, do a lot of these guys want to not be a part of this anymore anyways?
That's my question.
Yes, they didn't want to be a part of it on Saturday, and they showed that.
It's not just about this.
It's not just this. This is the final straw. I think this is an easy, okay, our guy can't even kick. You're going to keep doing this. We're out of it then.
Let me also say, like, if I got a vibe from a program, and I'm not saying anything about Sarah Fuller here. This is just in general. If you're trying to win a game and not go 0-for, okay, and you get a vibe that the program's not doing that, that you're not putting the best players in the positions to be successful, what mindset are you sending?
That's game, set, match.
Yeah.
For a competitor.
That's how I would also view it. So I can see it from a perspective of a captain feeling that way, if this is a captain-level player that Bruno Reagan's talking about.
Well, and let's not confuse the two here. And I think Bruno Reagan even did a good job of explaining this. This isn't him against Sarah Fuller or us against Sarah Fuller.
Right.
It's him against the situation that led to this. And then the Vandy decision-making. And he's responding to what he's hearing from the locker room. Now, Vandy's going to come back and fire back and say, oh, all these guys are going to start tweeting support of Sarah Fuller. And you're going to start seeing all this now to combat it, just like you did when Bruno went on Chris Lee's podcast to combat it. Well, what some of these guys are either saying publicly or not saying at all with a lot of the upperclassmen who haven't said a word on social media about it, what they're telling Bruno, their buddy that they played with, is going to be different than what the university's hearing. Now, guys have quit We're confident in saying that. Bruno Reagan said 6 or 7. We're hearing from other avenues at least 4 as of last night. Their numbers are in jeopardy of even playing games, these last two. Georgia this week, Tennessee next week. So that's the storyline to follow now. But I don't want people to think, oh, my gosh, you guys are so against this girl who's kicking. We're not against the girl kicking. I wanted to see her score on Saturday. I wanted to see Vandy get close enough or score a touchdown where she could attempt an extra point. It's not about that. But think of it from the eyes of the competitor in the locker room that's been there the whole time. If the guy that was your teammate comes back, offers up his services in medical school to help out, and is told by the coaches, doesn't matter if you're eligible, Sarah's kicking this week. That's not making the best decision for the team to win. It's not. There's no argument. Done. Game, set, match. You're trying to get a woman to score the first point in Power 5 conference football. That's what you're trying to do. So stop arguing the other way. And this goes for Vandy, and this goes for writers that want to argue the other way. Stop it. Your argument's over if that's the case. If what Bruno Reagan is saying is true, it is a damn publicity stunt. That's what it is. Doesn't mean you have to dislike Sarah Fuller for it. She's taking advantage of the situation. Great. Good for her. Good for her if that inspires people out there. I don't know why necessarily it's going to be that overly inspirational, but that's fine. If it's causing good that way, then go ahead.
The Jackie Robinson-esque moment.
Oh, Chad. My gosh.
Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.